Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. This week we're going to talk to former Minnesota DNR Commissioner Tom Landwehr. Recorded an interview with him that ran way long, so we're going to break it up over the next couple of weeks, but we'll have our first part of our Tom Landwehr interview about what he might be doing next. We'll talk about looking back on his time as DNR commissioner and how he felt he did. What kind of grade would he give himself as commissioner of the DNR? We'll talk to Tom here in a little bit. We've also got Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Joe Henry, who's on the road traveling around to different sports shows. We'll also find out just how much snow, ice, and slush and everything that's going on up at Lake of the Woods, as well as all of our other lakes here in Minnesota. And we're going to talk to Jamie Dittman here in just a second, who braved the Lake Superior ice to go chase lake trout this week. We'll find out how they did as well. This week's show is brought to you by the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, coming up March 8th, 9th, and 10th at the State Fairgrounds, the Warner Coliseum. It's brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Brought to you by the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation. Their annual fundraiser and banquet is coming up March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. It's brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. Plan your trip to Devil's Lake at haybaleheights.com. And also brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Sunday nights, 7:30. This week, we visit the Touch the Sky Prairie, interview Jim Brandenburg, wildlife photographer, world-renowned wildlife photographer, and also do some pheasant hunting for the governor's pheasant hunting opener around Laverne. And I'll tell you what, our camera guy falls in a creek. He dumps the camera underwater. My gun just completely decides it doesn't want to work as I've got roosters flushing right in front of me. I got layups. I can't pull the trigger. It's a pretty interesting show. Check it out this Sunday night, 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Or if you're listening or viewing the show around the state, you can also watch that show coming up next Thursday night on KSMQ in the southern part of the state out of Austin there, and in the northern part of the state on Lakeland Public Television Saturday at 2:30. And speaking of all these public televisions, we're at the state capitol. Another snowy day. Last two times I've been to the capitol, most people weren't even on the roads because of all the snow that we were getting. So I braved the snow, drove down to the state capitol for MPTA Day on Wednesday, and had a chance to visit with all the other public TV stations around Minnesota. It was open to the public, but obviously a lot of the public weren't traveling that day, so a lot of our conversations were with the other public stations around the state, and they all carry Prairie Sportsman, so you can watch it all over the place. It's various times throughout the week and throughout the year when you can see those shows. And had a long discussion with the guys up at WDSE in Duluth, and said, it's pretty interesting right now along the shore there, where you got some of where it's frozen, you can ice fish, which doesn't happen all the time. It's a pretty unique situation when that happens. And Jamie Dittman was up there actually twice in the past week taking part in ice fishing on Lake Superior. And Jamie joins us now on the show. Jamie, you live to tell the tale.
I did. Yesterday was a little sketchy, but the first trip was pretty amazing.
Yeah, so you were out there. See, we're recording. Hey, we're recording this on Thursday. Mika's mad you didn't bring her with, apparently. She's barking here in the background. But we're recording this on Thursday. So you were up there Wednesday. When I was at the Capitol in that snowstorm, you were sitting out on Lake Superior out on the ice.
Yeah, once again, the weatherman was a little wrong. It was a little more than 8 mile an hour wind.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
It had to be a good 35.
Hoofta. Well, you're out in the middle of a lake. It's going to be a little bit breezier out there, but it was also blowing. It was snowing and blowing snow then at the same time.
Yeah, we got out there before the storm hit, and we buttoned up our fish houses, and we couldn't really get out because if you stood up, your fish house would have been gone.
Oh, boy.
And so by about 1 o'clock, we decided it was time to head in. They just weren't biting. We were getting a few marks, but... And walked out of the fish house, and we had 3-foot drifts around us.
Well,
so then it was time to make our way back, and our trail was gone to 2 to 6 foot tall busted up ice.
Yeah, yeah.
And that caused 2 to 6 foot tall snow drifts.
Yeah, so not only did you have the deep snow, but just for a minute here, let's just briefly try to describe what that ice looks like along the shore there. If you go out, because I drove along the shore and we were up there filming the Bear Grease, and I stopped a couple of places, including that Brighton Beach spot, and I looked out there, and it was just like a jagged mess of ice shards sticking up this way and that way for as far as I could see out there, Jamie.
Yeah, it's 4 to 6 inch thick ice, you know, 2 to 6 foot tall. And you can get through it when you could see. And it was work. It was a lot of work. But when the snow came in, you might step on a piece of ice or you might be up to your armpits in snow.
Yikes.
So trying to get back to the truck was a chore.
Well, you made it, which is great, but you were also there last weekend. And tell us about the 42-inch Laker that was caught with your group.
So it was a really cool story because we went out and I had met some buddies there, and we went out to a depth where I'd normally gotten fish. And in 10 minutes, Hunter hooked up with one. And it was spooling them pretty good, and it was just swimming away. It wasn't even realized it was hooked. And 15 minutes later, 10 minutes later, I walk over to Cody while Hunter's still fighting the fish. And on his graph, he has one chasing him up and up and up, and boom, it hits. So I help him, and Cody's still in the fish house fighting his fish. And we see the fish, and I have just held my arm in the water to hold the line away from the ice. And somebody else grabbed it, and we got it up, and it had two hooks in its mouth. So it didn't realize it was even hooked.
That's funny. So, yeah, do you think the fish was just that hungry or that aggressive? Do you think there's a lack of forage out there, or what? Do you think it was just...
There's a lot of forage. He was just aggressive.
Okay.
And, you know, 42 by 22 inch trout in your backyard.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Is amazing.
That's so cool. Now, I was telling people about this, and you know, for people that don't realize, and they think, oh, ice fishing in Minnesota, what's the big deal? You don't get a chance to ice fish Superior on the Minnesota side very often.
No, I've gotten three chances in the past, I want to say 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And you know, one of those chances was really sketchy. This year, you can't see water, so it's really locked up.
Yeah, well, but you still want to be careful out there. Oh, and
you'll still find 3 inches of ice here and there, yeah. Even though there was a constant seven. And that ice moved. Yesterday it shifted once, and that could, you know, you really got to make sure the depth on your graph doesn't change, how far you're moving. I mean, it's something you should go out with somebody else your first time.
Yeah, okay. All right, now, and then when you do it, are you going out with a spud bar? Are you drilling holes every so often? What are you doing?
We'll drill holes, you know, wear floating suits, carry spikes, always have a GPS, because like yesterday, we wouldn't have found our way back without a GPS.
Sure.
It was a complete whiteout. Hmm. And just got to, you know, be as safe as you can be. And it's still not that safe, but on the weekends, there'll be a good crowd.
Well, I also was told you want to find out what's going on up there. You stop into Marine General because they have all the details. So it might be a good stop for you when you're in Duluth, if you're going to head out there. And Jamie, of course, you got around the Brainerd area. You've spent a little bit of time on the Brainerd Lakes. And, you know, we are nearing the end of the season. People got to start thinking about getting their fish houses off the lake. All right, you think people are just going to give up and let all their fish houses just sink to the bottom because of how much snow and slush and everything is out there this year?
I've had a lot of people call me to ask if I still have my plow truck. a lot of guides in Bemidji are just calling it a season. Matt Brewer and those guys, it's just so slushy, so much water on the ice.
Gross.
I've heard eel pout, they're, you know, in a foot and a half of water. Hmm. It's just getting really bad, and it's just untravelable. So unless you have even snowmobiles are getting stuck.
Yeah, well, we should mention real quick, too, before we wrap up here, that this Saturday, this weekend here, you're going to be on Mille Lacs for a perch contest?
Yep, we'll be there for the perch extravaganza at Hunter's Point, and it's prizes for big perch and a great raffle, and it's you'll be amazed on how many people come there for the raffle drawings. It is huge.
And it's Saturday, Saturday, February 23rd. What time of day does that go to?
I just looked at the email. You have to look at Hunter's Point or Johnson's Portside.
Okay.
Hunter's and, you know, it's something you can get to. It's easy. You don't have to drive on the lake if you don't want to. They have a lot of parking, and it's really neat, and it's something you can still get out and do this winter.
Well, I think we're looking for a place to fish this weekend, so we might join you up there on Mille Lacs. I haven't fished Mille Lacs yet this winter, so we might see you there. This Saturday, go through Hunter's Point or Johnson's Portside. Is that what you said?
Yep. Yep.
Very good. Jamie Dittman, Brainerd Lakes area guide. If people want to guide with you, probably this summer now at this point, what should they do?
Just call Sherry up at S&W, and she will get you hooked up. And we're still doing a few things this winter, but well, we're starting to wrap it up.
All right, very good. Thanks for being on the show. Coming up, we'll check in with Tom Landwehr, former DNR commissioner, first in at least a two-part series with Tom Landwehr here on Sporting Journal Radio here in a little bit. Also, Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. And we come back, we'll get Lake of the Woods conditions and talk about the Red River Valley Sportsman Show taking part in Fargo next weekend. Yeah, all next on Sporting Journal Radio.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Miranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism, who actually isn't up north. You're actually southeast of us right now. Is that right, Joe?
Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah, you know, it's sports show season, and Lake of the Woods Tourism, you know, we get around quite a bit just to meet with people and give them information and such. And, you know, we've done a show here for a few years now, and I'm meeting with a bunch of great people from this neck of the woods.
Yeah, there's a pretty good a fishing heritage over there in Wisconsin, actually, isn't there?
Well, there really is, yeah. And, you know, it's both inland lakes and also fishing, you know, Lake Michigan and such. Yeah. So there really is. And, you know, great people over here. I mean, other than being Packer fans, I mean, that's kind of hard for me to take. But, no, right. You know, it's what a fun rivalry. And all kidding aside, really some cool people. And you know what? I mean, outdoors people are outdoors people. Wherever you go, you got that common bond.
Now, next weekend, though, you're going to be in Fargo.
Yeah, next weekend's Fargo, and that's going to be a fun one. That's a four-day show, and, you know, it's at the Fargo Dome, and not only will Lake of the Woods Tourism have a booth there giving out information, we're giving away a free fishing trip, but, you know, I'm going to be giving seminars, Brett, on walleye harnesses A to Z, and we're going to be breaking down one of the most deadly techniques for walleyes ever, wherever you fish, doesn't matter what Lake of the Woods or anywhere, is crawler harnesses, and then we're going to talk about, you know, top walleye techniques, and basically what that is talking about some different techniques to walleye fishing that, you know, people probably know of or heard of, but really more importantly, the nuances that go behind them that make the difference between having a very average day and a really good day.
So if listeners right now are saying, well, hey, I want to go to it's a Red River Valley Sportsman Show next weekend. Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They want to come to that next weekend in Fargo. When are you speaking? Is it at the Fargo Dome?
It's at the Fargo Dome, and what I would say is I got a number of different speaking appearances throughout the 4 days. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday show, and what I'd say is jump on the website and just check out the times. You know, along speaking alternate of me is a Tommy Scarless, who, yeah, Tommy Scarless is a wonderful guy, unbelievable angler, and he fishes both for, you know, for walleyes, and also he's done very well in the crappie tournaments down south. Hmm. So he would be another fun one to listen to if you're in that mode.
All right, next weekend at the Fargo Dome. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, Lake of the Woods Tourism. And I just can't believe it. We were talking a little bit about this off the air, Joe. I can't believe how close to March we are actually right now.
Oh, we're there. Next weekend's March. So, yeah, we're right there. And, you know, it's interesting because with Lake of the Woods, when we talk March, first off, there's a couple nuances. You know, with the most of the state, you got to have your fish houses off the ice from an overnight perspective, you know, early March. And, you know, with Lake of the Woods, we are border water with Canada. So we're still Minnesota, but we're border water. So consequently, we have extended seasons. First off, our resorts are going to have fish houses out all the way through March 31st. So you can fish all the way through March 31st. It gives you a whole extra month. On top of it, our walleye season goes through April 14th. Our pike season never closes. And I'll tell you something. When we talk about fish movements for March on Lake of the Woods, those fish are starting to get into that spawning mode. Just naturally. And, you know, that means they're putting on the feed bag. That means some of those fish are starting to come tight to Pine Island. Some are going adjacent to spawning bays up in the northwest angle. And, of course, our pike, they're becoming pre-spawn. You know, so pike normally don't school. But what ends up happening is there's some go-to pre-spawn areas that these pike get congregated in. And I'll tell you, if a person wanted a chance at catching a 40-inch plus pike, you know, March is a wonderful month to put out a couple of tip-ups and get her done.
Well, and when we get to March, that's when, you know, most of the state also has to start taking all their fish houses off, but that's not the case up there.
Yeah, no, like I said, yep, fish houses are out all the way through March 31st, and, you know, you can, you know, it's like a whole extra month of ice fishing, which is incredible. And you know how March is. I mean, there's some days in March where you can fish outside the fish house and get a suntan.
Yeah.
There's other days where it's like a blizzard. It's like 10 degrees and you're freezing. I mean, and that's where a fish house is real nice.
Well, I know a lot of guys on the lakes down here, I think they're a little bit worried about trying to break their fish house out of the snow banks that are drifted around them right now. What kind of snow and ice you got up there on Lake of the Woods right now?
Well, I can tell you this, that around the state with all the snow we have, pushing all that weight on top of that ice, pushes that ice down so water comes up. So now you have slush, you have deep snow, and oh, what a headache trying to get fish houses off. Well, we, you know, we have a good amount of snow up in Lake of the Woods, but the saving grace is we have all of our resorts that will take people out ice fishing. In some cases, they plow ice roads so that they maintain the roads, and it just makes life so much better.
Yeah.
Man, our snowmobile, and, you know, like a lot of the state, but man, we got two, as you know, really, really good snowmobile clubs up at Lake of the Woods. We got the Drifters down in the Lake of the Woods Drifters down in the south end. And we have the Northwest Angle Edge Riders up in the north end of the lake. And, but I'll tell you what, they plow these hundreds and hundreds of miles of trails. You want to talk about incredible snowmobiling that you don't have a lot of traffic. You know, it's incredible. It's just so much fun snowmobiling up there. And like I say, I'm more of an ice angler than I'm a snowmobiler. But boy, I'll tell you, when you get back in these rustic pines and and you're back in no man's land, and you were there last year.
Yeah, and it's fun to combine those two trips as well. You know, it's kind of fun just to go ripping around on the trails for a little while and take a break from, even if you don't want to take a break from fishing, because usually when fishing is good, you don't want to leave it. But it is kind of nice to go out and cruise around the trails a little bit up there too.
Well, I'll tell you this much too. You know, next weekend, so that Northwest Angle Edge Riders puts on a big snowmobile rally. This year it happens to be at Sunset Lodge up in the angle, and boy, they're going to have the deal where they cut the hole in the ice and you can take a dip if you want to.
Oh boy.
They're going to have bombardier races between the resorts. They're going to have a radar run awesome. For snow machines. They're going to have a lot of good food and drink, of course. I mean, it's going to be a big old party, and that's from 11 to 4 on March 2nd, if anybody's up at the angle. I mean, if you're a snowmobiler and you want to have a good time, that might be a place to be.
Well, Joe, if people want to get up there for snowmobiling or late season ice fishing or start thinking about spring on the rainy or summer fishing on Lake of the Woods, where should they go for more info?
Yeah, you know what? The best place is at the Lake of the Woods Tourism website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Coming up, former DNR Commissioner Tom Landwehr talks about life after the DNR, what his plans might be, and looking back on his time as commissioner, how he felt he did. Plus, Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. And right now, we're going to stay on that North Dakota side of the Red River Valley and check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department.
The Encouraging Tomorrow's Hunters program is accepting applications for grants. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Wildlife, shooting, fraternal, and nonprofit civic organizations are urged to submit an application for the Encouraging Tomorrow's Hunters program, a game and fish grant program developed to assist recruitment of the next generation of hunters and shooters. The maximum grant allowed is $3,000. The program currently helps fund approximately 40 club and organizational events and projects each year, with an average grant of about $1,500. Grant funds help cover event expenses, including promotional printing, event memorabilia such as shirts, caps, or vests, ammunition and targets, and eye and ear protection. Past funding has enabled groups to conduct youth pheasant and waterfall hunts or sponsor trap and other shooting events, including archery and rifle shooting. Game and Fish has a separate grant program that supports new high school trap shooting teams. Any interested club or organization can get more information, including a grant application, from the Game and Fish Department website, gf.nd.gov, or by contacting outreach biologist Pat Lostwick at 701-328-6332. The deadline to apply for a 2019 grant is April 10th. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more. This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Miranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Our next guest on the radio show is the head of the game management in Minnesota as the appointed commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources for the last 8 years. Tom Landwehr joins us now. Tom, thanks for giving us some time on the show this week.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me here.
It's great to have you on. It's nice to have a conversation with you now. And I want to take some time here this week to look back on your 8 years as commissioner and talk about, what you accomplished, what you wanted to accomplish, and what you're going to be doing now. So let's start there. What are you doing these days?
Well, you know, the transition came off fairly quickly, and so I didn't have a lot of time to think about, well, what's next? Should I not get the job? But since that time, you know, I am still wanting to work, and so I am still actually looking for another position. And good news about Minnesota and the Twin Cities is a lot of opportunities out there, so I've got a couple irons in the fire. I'd really like to spend some more time getting out ice fishing, but the weather has not been particularly conducive to that, so I'm kind of waiting for things to warm up a little bit before I can get out again. I did get out of my my dry run to make sure all the gear works, and that was successful, but I still haven't been out to catch a bunch of fish. And I've had this long-term project in the works that I just haven't had the time to work on. That's pulling a book together, sort of historical hunting stories for Minnesota, and really been able to focus on that the last couple of weeks. So really catching up on a lot of things, kind of enjoying not having to deal with the stress and the politics of things. And
I bet.
And yet I'm also finding out I can't sit still very long.
Well, tell me a little bit about the book, if you can. Are these stories that you've told, or are these your stories, or the stories that have been told to you? And when might we see a book?
Well, they're actually stories that were published more than 100 years ago, 150 years ago, mostly by hunters and, in some cases, anglers that came from the east, came to Minnesota, which was frontier territory at the time. And it's an amazing collection of stories that talks about specific locations and what they saw and the hunting experiences they had and this, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's really, really fascinating. I actually started pulling this stuff together back in 1990 and with the intention of publishing it. And I just have not had the time to pull it all together. But now I'm able to kind of put the finishing touches on some of those things, and I'm going to bring it to a publisher, hoping that I could have it out, middle of this year, perhaps.
What a different landscape it was 100 years ago, and the philosophy on game management, and the fact that there really weren't a whole lot of regulations on that. I mean, you look at the story of the prairie chicken. I'm sure you know all about that with your time at the Nature Conservancy, but you look at the prairie chicken story and the history in Minnesota and just what happened there. You know, really, when you think about it, an organization like the DNR or the various natural resource management agencies across the country, the last 100 years, I mean, you could look at game management as being one of the greatest success stories in conservation, couldn't you?
Well, in this period of time that I'm looking at, which was kind of 1850 to 1900, actually is that sort of pivotal moment where we went from extraordinarily abundant resources in the 1850s, and these descriptions of these hunters are just phenomenal, to real concern in the 1870s and 1880s about what was happening to game populations, because there were no regulations. And the very same people who were the folks promoting hunting and promoting Minnesota became the people who were very concerned about the loss of wildlife and loss of habitat, and started creating, you know, the Minnesota Game Protective League and things like that. So they started forming these sporting clubs that ultimately lobbied to get the legislation passed to, you know, create laws and create wardens and that kind of thing. So it really is a very fascinating time in Minnesota's history if you're a hunter.
Tom Landwehr, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, former commissioner, Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Looking back on your time as commissioner, how would you rate your job there?
Well, I think, you know, as with anything, I think it's a mixed bag. You know, for the folks who are hunters and anglers listening, I mean, that's one kind of view at DNR, but I think people don't oftentimes recognize, you know, the sort of vast responsibilities that DNR has beyond fish and wildlife. And so when I look back at that whole portfolio of things, I note that we got an awful lot done. You think back to 2011, we were coming off of the Great Recession. As a result of that, you know, the state would have a $6 billion deficit, and none of the agencies, including DNR, had enough money to keep up their programs. And so there were a bunch of vacancies in the divisions of Fish and Wildlife, Parks and Trails, Enforcement, all of our divisions. And so we did spend a substantial amount of time over 8 years trying to get the funding necessary to get our programs back to where they should be, and maybe back to where they were historically. So it's one of those kinds of behind-the-scenes things that people don't often think about, but you got to have a healthy agency if you want to have good programs. And so we did a lot of work there. We got our field capacity back up to snuff, especially in fish and wildlife, especially in enforcement, especially in parks and trails and ecological and water resources. So now that, you know, we've got the people out there, we can manage the land, we can enforce the laws, we can do the water monitoring that we're tasked with doing and so on. And, specifically I look at fish and wildlife. We updated our waterfowl regulations. We made some really dramatic changes in 2011. I think people even forget about that now. We had a first wolf season. We actually had 3 years of a wolf season before the season was closed by the courts again. We brought the deer population back, from the lows of the tough winters we had 5 years or so ago. We jumped on CWD. We're, really trying to get ahead of that and hoping we can do that. And we really revised our fish stocking protocols and our programs, really updated that, modernized it, I would say. And then under Governor Dayton's direction, pulled together the first pheasant summit and the first pheasant action plan. And that's really guiding a lot of our work in southern Minnesota right now, especially around wildlife management area acquisition, walk-in area program, and so on. So a lot of stuff that, people who are hunters and anglers would notice, really, we moved the ball forward quite a bit.
Yeah, really a lot was done when you break it down like that. I know sometimes people knock Minnesota management as being a little conservative and slow to act on certain things, but you just listed off quite a bit of stuff, Tom.
Well, that's, like you said, that's just fish and wildlife. If I look at forestry, we've put a whole new private forest management program together to get more timber cut, which is good for a lot of fish and wildlife populations. We increased our enforcement staffing. So now we've got officers, that's almost every officer in the state, and that's very important for fish and wildlife management. And, we did a lot with parks and trails. So, most of your listeners will have some exposure to, one of those other divisions. And, if they spend time at a campground, they're going to see a lot of improvements, modernization that really have taken place over the last half dozen years.
Our guest, Tom Landwehr, Sporting Journal Radio. What was your biggest regret as your time as commissioner?
The thing that I think, and this is probably going to surprise people, I think the thing that really concerns me the most and what I was not happy to see over time is that we've continued to bleed hunters. And so when you look at the number of duck stamps sold, the number of pheasant stamps sold, just the number of small game licenses sold, it continues to decline in spite of the fact that, we've had some pretty good seasons. We've done a lot of recruitment and retention programs. We work closely with the groups to try and get more kids and more new communities outdoors. And in spite of all of that effort, the numbers continue to drop, pretty dramatically. And that's something I'm very, very concerned about and that I would expect to be involved with going forward to try and turn that around.
More with Tom Landwehr coming up next here on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus, we'll check in with Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort here on Sporting Journal Radio. Make sure that you find us on Facebook. We share crazy videos, pictures, and neat information about the outdoors around the Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and more. Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Aranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Tom Hoffman, the modern-day mountain man Billy Moles, and more.
This year's auction includes sheep tags in North Dakota, South Dakota, and more. Exhibitors get your business in front of their members as well. Friday and Saturday, March 15th and 16th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
The ice is strong and the bite is on. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Our guest, former Minnesota DNR Commissioner Tom Landwehr.
When you were appointed commissioner, if you were able to look back on the brand new commissioner, Tom Landwehr, and offer yourself some advice. You know, was a job what you expected it to be, or what would you tell yourself going back 8 years right now?
You know, I think I was pretty conscious of what the job involved. You know, I worked for DNR previously. I was an observer of DNR when I wasn't working for DNR. I think the thing that struck me as much as anything is just this humongous range of things that the DNR was responsible for, and actually how much that's changed over 10 and 20 years, and then just how there's constantly all these things coming at a DNR commissioner that, you know, any particular individual is probably not aware of. You know, if you're a hunter and angler, you pay very little attention to what's happening to mining or flood management or aquatic invasive species or some of these other things that are, you know, really top shelf issues for DNR. And so it's that diversity and just the intensity and the constant flow of these big issues that really just makes it challenging. And at the same time, I'd offer that the only way a person can get through that is by making sure you have really good staff working for you. And we're very, very fortunate my time there to have a great leadership team and, you know, really great field staff as well.
Would you do it again?
Well, I would do it again, primarily because I feel it's kind of a sense of responsibility. It's a sense of duty, you know, as a person who is a, you know, avid hunter, angler, outdoors person and conservationist. You know, I've always felt that we have to have a strong DNR if we want to continue to enjoy these products that come out of the Department of Natural Resources. And so I've always felt as much as it was an honor to do it, it really is a responsibility. If I believe in the quality of life in Minnesota, I ought to be willing to step up and put on that mantle. And so I would do it again. But at the same time, I'm enjoying not doing it right now.
Well, and right now, I mean, with the political climate that we're in right now, it's gotta be almost kind of nice not to be in the middle of all that.
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, when you're in the middle of it, when I have to go to work every day and have to deal with that, you know, I find a way to deal with it. But when a person is on the outside looking in, it does not look fun at all. I will say that, you know, the DNR is a little different, I think, than some agencies in that we've got sort of bipartisan support. You know, both the Republicans and the Democrats fundamentally support the mission of DNR. We're not a social program, so we're not subject to, you know, those kinds of political pressures. But there's still obviously always a tug and pull among different legislators around particular issues. And you know, we have the good fortune of being able to say, well, here's what the science says, here's what the public says, here's the direction we got to go, and sort of rise a little bit above the politics.
I want to talk a little bit about our new commissioner. And you, this is somebody that you'd worked alongside for the last 4 years. You hired her, correct?
That's right. Commissioner Stroman came to DNR back in 2015, I guess. We did a little restructuring, and Sarah was working at the Board of Water and Soil Resources at the time. She was actually the assistant director there. I'd known her from her previous work at the Minnesota Land Trust, thought very, very highly of her. And so Deputy Commissioner Shad and I approached her about taking on an assistant commissioner job with, you know, a couple of our big divisions, Parks and Trails and Fish and Wildlife. And after some deliberation, she agreed to take it on. And with an amazing addition to the commissioner's office, and has done a fantastic job for those divisions and for people in Minnesota. So I'm very, very pleased that Governor Walz has selected her as the commissioner.
So you weren't really too surprised about her getting the appointment?
You know, I was disappointed that I didn't get it. As you know, I put my hat in the ring. But when I found out that Sarah was the person who got it, it really made me feel much better. I'm most concerned that, when you want to get good things coming out of an agency, you know, you want to get good fish and wildlife, you want to get good parks and trails, you have to make sure that you've got a great leadership team in there. And Sarah is going to be a great commissioner. So I'm very pleased, and I think she'll do very well for hunters and anglers and the rest of the constituency that DNR has, and I think Governor Walz made a good pick.
What's it like to have a job where you know no matter how good you do, you may not have that job down the line?
It's kind of one of the considerations you assume when you take the job, you know. So it's, people may or may not know this, but, you know, commissioners serve at the will of the governor, and if the governor doesn't like my hair any particular day, he could let me go. And there's always that knowledge that there's no job security. It's a little disappointing when there's a change like this to recognize that, you know, however good or bad you did a job in the past, it may or may not reflect on whether or not you get to keep that job. But, you know, again, that's just something as a commissioner and person who takes a commissioner's job, you just have to accept.
More with Tom Landwehr next week here on Sporting Journal Radio. Now we're going to head up to Devil's Lake, Haybale Heights Campground Resort, and check in with Lucas Mertens. Now, Lucas, over here on this side of the Red River, we've just been getting pounded with snow. And I know last time we talked to you and we had this conversation, some of that snow had missed you guys up there at Devil's Lake. What about this last storm that rolled through?
Yeah, we kind of missed it again. We haven't got much snow now for, you know, a week or better. Looks like we're just on the northern edge of all these big storms that come through.
It must be nice being on the other side of it for a change.
Well, yeah, I think everybody's tired of pushing snow. But I guess the lake level is down, you know, quite a bit. I think most people who come up here know that. We're probably down, you know, almost 6 feet from the high. So there are a lot of people who are praying for some snow, wishing that we get a lot, to bring the level up a little bit. And then there's people who don't want any snow. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, that lake is so interesting. And you talk about, 6 feet, that when you think about the size of that lake, 6 feet, that's a lot of water. I know when we were up there, in August last year? I mean, there's bridges that are exposed that you guys used to fish that used to be underwater.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, until someone's been there and actually maybe even traveled the whole lake. I mean, I think most anglers, they come up and they see the little section of lake that they're actually fishing, but I don't think most people know, like from our place, it goes 35 miles to the northwest and 35 miles to the southeast. So it is a massive body of water, and 6 feet of water is it's a lot of water to come off there. And I know a lot of the resorts, they've built marinas and, tried to gear up for all the fishermen coming. And a lot of these marinas are in some trouble right now if we don't get some runoff this spring.
Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's with Haybale Heights Campground Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. So how much snow do you think is on the ice this week? And how much snow and ice are you drilling down through?
Well, there's that good foot or maybe even more of snow in spots. And we're pushing 30 inches of ice now. So it definitely extensions, and it's a little more work drilling, but, that's just part of the game, I guess.
Well, it looks like on the Facebook page, you guys are still finding fish out there.
Yeah, we had a good week this week. We had yesterday was a little bit slower. We had kind of some flurries and some cloudy skies, but the day before that was real good. We had limits for most of the guys, and I think this weekend should be real good fishing.
And that's we're talking perch mostly, but you guys are getting finding walleyes too, right?
Yeah, the walleye bite has been pretty good too. That's going to get, I think the walleye bite and the perch bite, I think, are setting up to be really, really good this March. It just seems like those fish are starting to turn on a little bit earlier than they typically do. And I think we're going to have ice, I dare say, you know, probably fishable ice all the way through most of March is my guess.
Wow. Well, it is. I mean, I can't believe we're almost to March already, Lucas.
Yeah, I guess it is almost. We're closing in on March, and seems like we've been doing this for a long time, and we have been.
Yeah.
It's been a good long season. And the forecast doesn't really show a lot of warm weather, you know, to start melting ice or to stop making ice even. So I think we're going to be well into March, and I think the bite is just going to be phenomenal, in my opinion. Just from what I see, what the fish are doing and what the guides are telling me, I just think it's going to set up to be a phenomenal, spring fishing.
They say you make hay when the sun shines, and normally you go through mid-March with the ice guiding business. If you got safe, strong ice out there, you gonna go later this year?
Well, we'll go until it's safe, and I know a lot of those trips are a lot of last minute. You know, guys will get on the internet, they'll look around, maybe they see our Facebook page, and maybe they, you know, heard us on the radio with you, and they call up and say, hey, we got some time off, can we come up in 2 or 3 days? And that's the way a lot of this March guiding goes for us, I guess.
All right, well, what do they do if they want to book a trip? If they're listening right now and say, yeah, I want to get up there and fish out of a snow bear, what should they do, yeah. Lucas?
Yeah, they can call me direct, 701-351-3130, and they can go to our Facebook page and check that out. That's always current, and then there's always our website. It's got all the prices and the info, and that's haybaleheights.com.
Lucas Mertens, good luck fishing this weekend, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks for tuning in across the network. Thanks to all of my sponsors. Of course, Lake of the Woods Tourism, HayBaleHeights.com, Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake, the Midwest Wild Sheep Foundation Annual Banquet and Fundraiser coming up, Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Outdoor News, Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic coming up at the State Fairgrounds Coliseum March 8th, 9th, and 10th. And of course, Prairie Sportsman, new episode Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer Public Television. We go pheasant hunting around Laverne. We talk to Jim Brandenburg. Watch our past shows at prairiesportsman.org. And find our show on Facebook, Sporting Journal Radio, or listen to past shows at sportingjournalradio.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.